Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
When you hear that bomb blast, get a shot glass. Listen to the podcast, it's all up in your mom's ass. Big J kills them like O.J. Simpson. A quick, if the fingerless glove don't fit. Get break quick by that big dick Dave Smith. He all up in your ribs while he talking politics. Or get bit when you rattle by that Puerto Rican snake. And natural born killers, legion of skanks.
Welcome to the Clash!
Sheesh.
Yeah.
The Friday night hang.
It's the hang, y'all. It's the hang. It's the hang, y'all.
You got real hang vibes right now, Jay.
Thank you.
Oh, are you smoking weed or are you smoking a cigarette?
A cigarette. I'll go inside to smoke weed. Man, the fucking you're leaving tonight, Lewis, and I'm gonna see Wu-Tang and Run the Jewels. The Josh Adam Myers, Mike Fenoya saga through it's been hilarious.
Oh, has there been more of a saga? Why would it happen now?
Is it to do it again? More... I got floor seats.
Now
your
it's
name
not,
on it.
No, it's not more. It's not more stuff necessarily. It's just about it, but like it's just funny the way it just plays out because like Josh is doing his best, but he's Josh.
Yeah.
And Fenoy is like doing his best, but like Josh asked me about going to Wu-Tang, and I was like, "Hey, buddy, I already got tickets." I was like, "I already got tickets for Wu-Tang, and like they're." Like, I didn't get you one because I was like,
no problem. I'm friends with GZA.
I was like, Fenoy was in the original People Coming, dude. And I just know myself, dude. I don't want to sit in the awkward all night of you guys having like a weird thing. So he goes, can I call?
Can I just ask, are they like, are they friends or are they just friends through you?
Through me.
So like they haven't spoken since the last concert?
No.
Also, okay. Does Fenoy really care?
What do you mean?
Like, would it be an awkward thing? Why, like,
is he pissed about the last time?
It's not going to be a big thing. But I just said before, it's like, that definitely left the thing with Mike where he's like, you know, it's like, going to be like, it's like, oh, Josh is coming. Great. You know what I mean? And he might have been like, just distant and like, I would have hated it.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. You just felt like it would be an uncomfortable thing in the air.
And that I just don't want. Yeah. So I'd rather not have that. So I was like, So I said to them, when Josh called me and asked me, I was like, yeah, and Mike was already coming. So, you know, he goes, well, can I call Mike? So I was like, sure, call Mike. So he called him and said a thing, but it's just like, he didn't say anything about Wu-Tang. You know what I mean? It was just like, hey, calling out of the blue just to say sorry about all that shit that happened. And maybe I'll see you down the road someday, which is funny just because... Again, in Josh's defense, like I said, in the reality of the story, I never said, like, if you talk to Mike and everything's fine, you can come with us. Because it's all seats. It's not like floor seats. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. He didn't know I had an extra ticket, but it is just funny that he called Mike and laid this whole rap that it was like, and maybe I'll see you down the road. We could hug it out. It's like, Josh, you know you're going to see him in a couple days, you piece of shit.
So Josh just called him from the parking lot of the Wu-Tang concert.
Yeah. I'm calling from out of the blue. It just occurred to me. I never wrote you a poem.
Look at that fucking should be funny. Fucking, this is that gallon of fucking whatever fucking coffee drink you have.
Juice. My juice.
Was that juice?
No, it's chai.
Oh. Nice.
It's my juice. Yeah. Get my juice. You psyched for Italy, dude?
Yeah, I'm fucking it's just the quiet before the storm. Everything's so expensive when you go with seven people.
That is the thing about flying everyone you've ever met to Italy. Gets costly.
Yeah, I mean, well, it's me, Beatrice, Jenna, James, Bianca, Aunt Anne-Marie, and Jenny.
Yeah.
Lewis has to bring all of his last seven girlfriends, everyone he's in a fight with, every family member who's disowned him.
I need a harem.
To steal from him.
I need a harem anywhere I go.
Beatrice, Jenna, Karen Feehan. Give me coffee. Yeah, just take it, everybody. Just banging it out in one shot.
He goes, what airline are you flying? He goes, we rented an Air Force cargo plane. It's just cheaper. It's just cheaper at that volume.
Well, it's like fucking...
Louis James and 100 chicks.
The fucking... the tour for the Vatican is 940 euro. It's driving me out of my mind.
Each? For everybody?
No, total. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. That is about what I would have guessed. Oh, if it was each, that would have been insane. Yeah, dude, fucking listen, I know that same game. I mean, maybe not quite as bad, but I always, it's like, it's the in-laws, and then it's like, you know, my brother-in-law, my this. It's like, before you know it, it really changes when you're trying to
Dave do has a with. Dave has an outlaw, a fugitive from justice in his group.
I have
well.
An outlaw, but it was a non-violent victimless crime, so like libertarians don't view him as an outlaw, but I gotta bring a few in-laws, outlaws with me.
Brother-in-law, outlaws, Jude Law is coming.
It costs a lot to bring my in-laws. You don't want to see the bill for my outlaws. They don't pay for nothing.
It's so funny because like an in-law is like, it's like your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, and then an outlaw is somebody who murdered somebody. It's just not exactly an opposite.
Yeah.
It is an outlaw
on the outside of the law. Somehow in-laws means your mom's, your girl's mom.
Yeah, it's very weird.
Who made up this? Just seems like a mistake, like an oversight when they were coming up with
the
language.
It's the old park on a driveway, drive on a parkway. But,
but it is a big jump. Like, it doesn't seem like pure opposites. Like, it's like my girlfriend's mom and Charles Manson shouldn't be like the inverse of each other. It is, there's a weird fucking, but dudes are so, we really are. I think you realize it more the older you get. But dudes really are just, we're all big, dumb animals. And it is, you know, for all the shit we get, like, you know, people be like, men are oppressive or whatever. It really, nothing does make you feel better than just giving your resources to everyone else. Like, it does, I know you've talked about it before too, Lewis, but like, there's nothing better than like when you're on vacation, on a beautiful vacation with a whole bunch of people in your family and you paid for the whole thing. And you're just kind of like, yeah, I did that.
Dave, I did agree with you for a long time, but I'm like on my fucking like seventh one of doing these.
Well, so yes, you overdo it to a retarded level. That is true.
At this point, I'm going like, yeah, it sure be nice if somebody else was paying for this. Like, I know what you're saying. Like the feeling of like, oh, look what I did.
You do provided. 2 a month.
Yeah, no, like, and that's also like an insecurity thing as well. It's like, yeah,
you got to let them know they're all below you and you've provided for this.
When you're broke, you get to a place where you're like, look, I can afford to bring my family out. Like, that's not the way like actual rich people like think. Like, rich people are probably always like, not. Yeah, no, they're like, no, you pay, please, by all means.
No, yeah, we act like short money for sure.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We're all brand new money. Yeah. Brand new. Yes. No, I agree. No, but I don't like, I don't know. I mean, I think it's nothing makes me feel better than just like coming home from the weekend with like a good like check and just giving it away and just being like,
you've never gotten a blowjob with a finger up your ass.
Yeah, Dave, you haven't.
While you give away a check.
But you should. You should. It's the ultimate.
Nothing feels better than giving away my money while you get your dick sucked.
Pure bliss. Your asshole. Pure bliss. I like to hand a check while I'm getting my butthole fingered and my dick sucked. Two different people.
Three different people. Yeah.
Why not? I feel like I give away so much money. I feel like all my money should come to me in a bag with a money sign on it.
Yeah.
And I have to just hand it away.
Your rubles.
Fuck me, dude.
It is a weird feeling that fucking, I know Jay can relate to now and Lewis will go through soon, but there is something, particularly when you're buying your first house. So it's only when you're buying a house, but you're not selling a house. Like most of the time, you know, for the rest of your life, Jay, if you buy another house, you'll quite likely be selling the one you were in first to go buy it. But when you're just buying a house from scratch, you sit in this fucking environment where there's like, there's your lawyers, there's their lawyers, there's your real estate agent, there's your accountant, there's your, you know, you got like all these.
And everyone is Jewish.
Well,
and
not
each and every last one
selling the house, but everyone, literally everyone, there's like a team of people. Everyone's making money except you. The sellers are making money. Everyone collecting a fee is making money. You're the only one who's just paying all of them. It's a very weird feeling. And yet you're proud. You're like, I'm doing it. I'm doing it big, but just everyone's taking your money.
That's all crazy. It's very depressing for me when I'm spending money and I'm doing nothing but spending money right now.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
You gotta spend money to make money. You also have to spend money to lose money.
Yeah. You do indeed.
You also, that's like, you don't actually have to spend money to make money. You could just simply make money.
Well, we have to spend money to make money. You got to fly.
That's it.
That was always the funniest.
Nothing else.
There's nothing else. Like you were going to come up with a list.
Airline ticket, oh, maybe really lunch. I suppose you were going. I guess you were going to eat lunch at home too, but
not like this. Not with other people.
Not at the airport.
Not the motherfucking airport.
Oh fuck me, dude. Yeah, I'm excited though. We're leaving tonight.
Where's your first stop?
Rome. We're doing Rome for 3 days and Venice for 4 days.
Nice.
Yeah, I'm fucking pumped. Gonna get a little water.
How many days in Rome?
3 days in Rome, 4 days in.
How many days in Rome? Three. Gotcha.
Yeah. So I'm fucking pumped. Gonna be good. Jay, what's going on with your camera?
I think he's signed on to his computer.
Be switching my computer in a second.
Oh, I see. It's okay.
I am.
Yeah. It was just the worst time. It's the worst time ever to film a comedy special, take a family trip to Italy, and try to buy a house.
There's never really a good time to do all three of those things. Yeah.
I just, everything, every dollar that I own is now gone.
On my own.
Pretending she's beside me. I'm looking at a dollar. Please, dollar, don't leave me. I really miss the feeling.
Yeah, I remember when I bought
clearing,
my house.
Just clearing out my bank account. I haven't felt like this broke like in a long time.
I remember when I bought my place, and it's like I put like a good amount down because I didn't want to borrow that much, not be, you know, be less in debt. But like I spent so long saving it, and then you just give it all away at once, and it is a weird feeling. And one of the things that I never, so Chase Bank used to call me all the time, like every week they'd call me because I just had all this money sitting in the bank waiting to put it into a house, and they'd always be like, hey, you should invest this, blah blah, and I'd be like, no, I'm saving up for a fucking house, I don't want to invest it. And and then the silence of the phone calls stopping after I bought the house, like you're just like, they don't care about you anymore. You're a brokey now. It hurt.
Sorry, I think we just were watching found footage of Jay before a ghost kills him.
And he's dead. It was a bad ending after that.
And he is dead. Oh, there he is.
Oh, he survived.
He survived.
I pulled through, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, anyway, after this, I'll feel good. But I'm just fucking stressed out as hell right now.
I have a hard time. I hate flying so much. And I don't even mean like fear flying, just like process, sitting there. Time. So it's
flapping your arms.
Yeah. Fucking long flight vacations seem so daunting to me.
I mean, once if you do an overnight, you know, like we're 8:30 tonight, so sure. We're gonna sleep on the flight and wake up and just be, you know, be in Europe.
That's the only way to do it for sure.
Yeah.
I've even started now, like if I'm going, like when I go to Tacoma, like I'm flying out the night before to not have to do just like that all day and then and shit.
If you can, that's the way to do it, man.
Jay, you're also not.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, you're not like a vacation guy. Like you just, the amount of times that you've ever even taken a vacation, I can think of like two or three times where. And then it wasn't even like we were going to go to Key West, and then we decided to just do a Key West takeover and do shows.
Yeah.
That's just not your thing.
Yeah.
If you could go on vacation anywhere in the world, where would you go?
Outback.
To the Outback.
No, steakhouse? Outback.
You get a steakhouse, Blue and Onion.
Outback of my house.
Really? There's just nowhere you want to visit?
Yeah, no, sure. Yeah, I mean, if I could like fucking transport there, like instantaneously, Greece, I'd love to see. I'd love to see Italy. Yeah,
but it's just not that much longer than going to LA.
I hate that too. I wouldn't want to do that for vacation either.
Well, not for vacation, but it's like, you know, when you're on the flight, you know, just fucking go first class, go to sleep, wake up, you're in Italy. You're fine. You'd love these places. I mean, I don't think actually you would not love Greece at all. I don't know why you want to go to Greece.
Why?
You just couldn't handle it, bro. Just too much of a faggot.
I love fetish.
Probably too gay.
I love foreskin. I love feta cheese.
Hey, I know it. You might like it.
Never mind.
I just, you're not, you're, how do I say this with this?
I don't know. It's, you just, you don't have what it takes.
You're a little bitch. So it's only really manly men get to go to Greece. No, you, it's just, I couldn't imagine you wanting to go. Like, once you're there, you're going to be like rolling your eyes at like good looking Euro trash. Am I boring you? You got a fucking problem with me, bro?
Yeah, enough with your fucking grease. Recap. Oh, yeah, yeah. This guy with his fucking recap of everywhere.
No, like, it's like there's like good looking Euro trash. It's like girls that like want to shop for like Versace and like that's like very much grease vibes.
As somebody who's, I could kind of, I split the difference as I often do between the two of you. Like, I was not a vacation guy at all for years. I went years, never went on a vacation. I mean, literally up until I think the last couple of years, I've never been on vacation since I've known you guys. So I was not a vacation guy, and I got very into being a vacation guy. And one of the things that really makes vacation awesome is you gotta like, you gotta be like kind of goofy and just get into it. And just get into vacation. And Lewis is very naturally, like, Lewis is the guy who's starting a chant at a concert. He's the guy who, like, right away, if he's in Hawaii, he's going to have a Hawaiian shirt on. He's going to be, you know, just
bucket hat, living that big moment. Slab of just, sunblock on my nose.
Just the most cartoonish version of I'm doing this now. Yeah. And Jay is more, you're just a little more like sarcastic and I don't know exactly how to say it. You're more the one who's like, nah, I'm just going to make fun of how Lewis looks right now. Like, that's more your vibe. And to really enjoy vacation, you got to be a bit of a hand job. You got to really get into it. And don't get me wrong. I love it. I love to get into it.
It's the, you're right, but it is. It's, I have the hard time of like, my thing is like, and by the way, it's not, I don't think it's right or wrong necessarily, but it's just kind of how it is. You're right. Like, I have a hard time. If it was like, hey, we're all going to Eagles game, I'm like, that's great. If everyone's like, dude, we're all going to paint whatever on our chests and, like, you know, be a whatever, or all wear a shirt that, like, makes a picture or something, I'm like, I don't know. Like,
I also,
that's just where I just check. I don't have, like, I have a hard time submitting to, like, the thing.
I get that. I also think, Jay, and I have this to some degree, too, but I think you're a little bit more than that. But I definitely am a person who, like, I generally like my environment. Where I know the environment. And I don't really love just like, hey, let's go throw you in a wacky out of your comfort zone environment. Like, yeah, I'd kind of rather not do that. I'd kind of rather just stay where I like it to be. And vacation is a lot of times that. It's a lot of times, Dave, like,
you can't swim with dolphins in your backyard, dickhead.
Yeah, I'm not knocking it, Jay. Lewis, I'm just saying, Jay is the type of guy who's like, yeah, but then if my, whatever, the rest of the day, the environment I'm in, I'm just uncomfortable with this. Well, I don't like this. It sucks.
Yeah, which you're kind of, and I get what you're saying. It's almost like Jay, and this is all of us to a certain degree, right?
Jay, but we don't really need you for this part. We're just going to define you.
Jay you is do what you, Jay
a duality.
Jay does what he wants to do. And what he wants to do,
like Bam
he
can Margera.
Do at home. But what you want to do, you can do at home. It's like, the whatever reality the is you I don't want. Have any interest in jet skiing
or wrong.
I'm wrong.
Yeah, I went jet skiing last summer.
Did you enjoy it?
Oh, we had a blast.
I've never been jet skiing.
What?
It was so fun.
Yeah. Dude,
it was funny. The funniest thing about it was I was zipping all over the place on them or on it and being like pretty good. I was going pretty fast and it was pretty choppy water, so I was hitting waves. Everything was going good. It was a little like dicey at points, but it's fine. One point, I stopped the thing.
It was dicey. You're like hickory dickory dock.
I'm about to fucking fall.
There's salt in my eyes.
No, but when I stopped one time to like turn, I like hit the brake, you know, brake on it to turn.
Yeah.
On the thing, and it was dead stopped, and the thing just went over, and I just went off of it, which looked hilarious. And the scariest thing about it was looking stupid trying to get back on it. But man, I really just I pulled that step down. And I mean, it was everything I had just threw into getting back in that thing in one motion and getting back on it without looking like a fat guy. Just a fat guy trying to figure it out. I was able to get on in one motion.
I think I hurt my foot doing it because I just wanted to do it fast.
Then you had to pretend that you were just like, you're like, cool, dude.
Oh, dude, I mean, I was picturing everyone laughing while I had to stay in the water and like drag a fucking drag a jet ski back. So I was like, please be able to get back on this. Please be able to get back on this.
So yeah, dude, you might fucking, honestly, Jay, I could see you loving a villa in Jamaica. That's the truth. I can see you absolutely loving it.
You kind of do have to put yourself there and do it and then find out if you like it.
Yeah. You know, I would. And I would, there's things that I would definitely do.
Yeah. You also, I just don't know that, like, it wouldn't be great. Italy, you'd love, because Italy is just the greatest place on earth and the food is just incredible. Everyone loves Italian food.
The problem is the schedule. The problem is the schedule, the way I've, like, been worked, especially of late. It's like the idea of that, it's like, I'll do 17 weekends in a row. Then they have to give me 3 weekends off in a row, which is too much. I don't need that much off. But I also shouldn't be doing 17 weekends in a row.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when I have 3 weekends off, the idea again of like, L's one of those is going to be, and you know, we all have chicks with us. A girl packing is its own ordeal in general. Having to also have a girl pack when you're going somewhere, when you're used to just kind of going yourself and getting your shit together.
Yeah, you got to just walk out of the room and let them figure it out. Can't be a part of that.
But it could be hours and stuff and on too much stuff. Oh, and
yeah, you got to give them a week, sure.
Yeah. So there is that. I just have like a...
I understand.
I'm picturing that like on time off. I'm like, oh my God, two of the days are going to be the chaos of figuring out how do we have everything set before we go. Blah blah.
So can I say left. It's you're genuinely just overthinking it. Mm-hmm. Just pick somewhere to go. Christine will be fine. She'll pack her bag. You'll get on a flight. It's gonna be no difference to you.
I'm not making money when I get there. It's just spending money.
Yeah, you're not really making money. But when you're
I'll tell you, there's a thing, and I haven't done like really long flight vacations. I've done some deep mid-sized drive vacations, but there is also a thing like that you'll enjoy that, like, it's kind of nice. First off, when you're flying, if you're flying somewhere with Christine, as you've done a bunch of times, it is a little bit nicer than just flying alone. You're like, all right, at least you're there with your chick. She's going to keep you company. It's kind of like more fun. And then like, there's a really nice feeling, like almost as you're doing it, you're like, yeah, but I don't have to work tonight. I don't have to be here. I don't have to do this. I'm just going to like, hey, what, as soon as we get there, I go, what's the first fun thing we're going to do? And then we're going to go do other fun things. And it's just like the whole time you're there, you're just doing the shit you want to do. I mean, I'm in a different situation. I got little kids. So I'm doing like little kid shit. But
it's fun seeing them have fun.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Look, you do a fucking villa in Jamaica. That'll be up your speed. You can go jet skiing. You have private beach. You're not near people. Private fucking pool.
You're going to be drinking a tequila on the beach, smoking a joint.
Yeah, just getting high as fuck. Jamaican ladies making you great food the whole time.
And then you're going to rape those Jamaican ladies.
Lewis, it'll be my speed or it'll be up my alley. But it's never going to be up my speed.
No, it'll be up your speed.
That's going to be right up your speed, bro.
Hey, I don't,
it's going to be right up your speed.
I walk to the beat of my own tuba. Okay. I don't use other people's speech patterns. Ooh. And things.
Bobby Kelly is legitimately getting over me correcting him like that all the time. He is not enjoying it on the show. I see it. I almost every day at some point of the show, I have to go, I'm sorry, dude. I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's because Bobby is, and similar to me, Bobby is the guy that does use like old man phrases.
Oh, dude, we had a good idea.
Use them.
We had a goodie yesterday that really I was like, holy shit, that was like impressively like he's somehow right in his wrong. He goes, oh dude, he's like, when the cops pull me over, I go 10 of 2 with my hands and blah blah, and I pushed the microphone away because I didn't want to correct him, and he was like, what dude, what? And I was like, Bobby, it's definitely 10 and 2.
It is 10 and 2, but 10 of 2 is also
10 great. Of 2 fucking works. It's the same thing.
We're gonna go 10 of 2, quarter of 3, you know, really just
dude, oh, shit. Son of a bitch. I was like, you know what, Bobby? I can't come at you hard because it works that way. Oh, but it's certainly not called that. But God damn it, if that doesn't work.
Dude, every time I get pulled over, I go 10 of 2, 9:45. We're good, dude.
Dude, dude, I'm going 106.
9:45 is just both your hands on one part of the steering wheel.
I'm going 106 p.m. Eastern, sometimes General Mountain Time. What? I will say, you know, I'll give a just shout out to fucking Bobby, who was a fucking just such a great director for my special.
I got to tell you, when I heard you were doing a short sleeve button down shirt for the taping,
yeah,
I was like, oh, it's like a, it's like kind of off your look a bit, and like maybe not like what I would have like thought for you.
Yeah,
and he showed me the pictures. You look great, dude.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, no, I mean, I've always worn, you know, I wore a button down on the last one. It's a special. I'm not like fucking dressed.
Short sleeve button down is not really a look that I think, but it looks great. You look great. Thanks. You're in shape right now, so it looks good.
I appreciate it. Yeah, no, Bobby, fucking dude, he really killed it. The production company killed it. But like having Bobby, like, legitimately really knew what to do when trying to direct a special, just setting up all the shots. He was like legitimately like a crazy person, like super, super meticulous, wanted to make sure that every single shot. Yeah, looked
dude,
great.
He was like exhausted from the weekend.
Yeah, no, he was fucking awesome, dude. He like legit, like, and I've worked, like, obviously we had some great teams in the past that did understand how to direct and make beautiful specials, but Bobby understood, you know, from the like inside and out, every angle for like a stand-up special, how to do this. You know what I'm doing? Instead of, I'm not doing an intro, essentially it's just cutting straight into the thing, but I'm doing
the opening skit gay.
Well, I'm doing two post credit scenes like a Marvel movie.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like mid credits, there's gonna be it'll cut in, and then the very end, there's gonna be another one, so people could stick around for Easter eggs.
Wow, that's such a Lewis thing to do. I love it.
Yeah, yeah, pretty fucking sick. But yeah, shout out Bobby Kelly, because he was just legitimately just awesome.
Yeah, he knows how to direct a comedy special.
He sure, said everybody
he doesn't
said,
understand sayings, but
he said Rebecca and Christine fucking killed it.
Everyone killed it, dude.
Guys, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, it was legitimately great.
And it's also very cool that you did it with your team, you know, with people like your guys. I mean, that really is like, you know, for Rebecca and Christine are the people you run a fucking festival with. Bobby's the guy who you like kind of came up on his podcast and was very influential over us starting our podcast. So it's very cool. It's cool to come in with the people you came to the dance with and do a big thing with them.
Yeah, yeah, we'll see. I mean, I hope people fucking like it, but I think this will be
I'm not saying people are gonna like it, but I'm just saying, no, like, it's cool.
They're not going to. The people are not going to enjoy it.
We ended up going to see Superman over the weekend as well.
By the way, Dave, Superman, yeah. Superman must be libertarian, dude. That guy lines up. Superman's gonna build his own roads.
Yeah,
got some real thoughts about dude. Israel.
Dude,
Lewis, I thought it was far more heavy-handed than you said it was.
Well, just as a leader of the libertarian movement, I can't tell you how much we could use a Superman on our team. I mean, we really, both for his financial backing and just logistically in terms of the amount of roads he could build. I mean,
absolutely. Woo,
that boy could build some roads.
I thought I enjoyed it, but I thought it was.
Oh, you watched it?
I saw it. Yeah, I thought it was extremely heavy-handed on Israel Palestine. Extremely.
The leader of Israel is just this wacky looking bug.
Couldn't be more. It's Netanyahu. Yeah. They made a wacky net and he's so, and it's like, it's the, you haven't seen it, Dave, right? But it's the,
no, but it's from what everyone tells me, it's
very simply, it's a huge ally of the US.
No, I understand. Yeah, no, I've been told, but it's, they did, from what I've heard, it's like they did the Avatar thing, which is like, you know, it's kind of like, we have to start a war to obtain the unobtainium. You're like, that was for oil kind of, right? That's right. You named it unobtainium? Like,
it's as heavy-handed
dude,
as that.
Dude, just don't, by the way, it's always, you know, like, it's like people don't get this, like, when they try to do, like, even political comedy or something. Like, it's like, dude, the best political, like, the best conservative comedian in the world is Nate Bargatze, because he's just a conservative guy who just does funny jokes. Yeah. Like, just do funny shit and be that person. Or like, even in a movie, if you want to make this the message, you got to hint at it a little bit. It can't just be like.
Well, let me tell you how not the way they think they're hinting at it is because both of these places exist in like the 19 something, you know, earliest like episode or versions of Superman comic books. But when you, we look this up, when you go to the comic book things of it, these places are just like, like, this looks like American soldiers he's fighting. You know what I mean? It's not like a thing. This was very clearly Arabic people.
Yeah, it's fucking Arabic people and with Jews, rocks and Jewish soldiers. And then Jews with rocket launchers.
Just Jews. Just this one group's just bombing them, and then they get hit by a rock, and they're like, oy vey, ow!
Use the golden missiles! You
know, it couldn't have been more heavy. I was just like, yo, that's really fucking...
I just funny. The reality is I just funny. Don't give it. I just don't give a shit.
I don't care.
Like either, whether it's made up, whether it's fucking them, it's a nod to that. I just genuinely go like, oh, did I enjoy the movie? Is Superman flying? Yeah. Is he really powerful?
My anger was much more that the after credit scene, like the last one was literally nothing.
It was just none of them. Both of them were really nothing. They didn't.
The other one was they tried to make a funny thing with no foreshadowing. Usually the post credit scenes imply there's going to be fucking foreshadowing.
Yeah.
You piece Jay's of pissed. Shit.
Well, that's what I have to. I have to write
I
my post credit scene.
All of it. I thought,
for my special, I need to figure out something.
Just be you walking. Just you walking for a block.
Yeah.
God damn it, dude. I saw Tyler the Creator in concert last night.
Oh, how was that?
Not my music. Five bangers out of 20 some songs. And I'd say from that, I could tell he's probably got five more songs I would like a lot. Like his hard stuff, I think is pretty good. The genre I would call like R&B rap almost. But he's giving it to his fans, because I will tell you from just the minor knowledge I have of like music touring stuff and what they have to do, he's making no money on these shows, man.
Why?
The production was fucking insane. The production was huge.
What was the cost of the ticket?
I think 200 floor. 200 on the floor.
I'm sure they're making money on the shows, though.
Well, here's the thing. I know it's like when Shane and Nate and them do a thing, right? They're in the round. Put it this way. It's pretty interesting that, without a doubt, Shane is making at an arena far more than Tyler, the Creator. Far, far more.
Well, there's no production. It's a microphone.
No, I know. It's pretty amazing. I mean, it's a microphone, some screens, and a stage. But, like, it's like Tyler, the Creator's thing. I mean, the whole place. Like, he had a bridge he walks across to the other side of the arena stage. And just, like, well done. The kid's, like, in every sense of the term, that dude's, like, a fucking artist. I didn't really watch his – they had an Adult Swim show that was, like, a comedy show they did. And
yeah, I think he was right. He was like doing comedy things for a little bit.
He would be on Rick and Morty a lot. He would do voices, right?
Yeah, Yeah. He's like
so, yeah.
He's like a nerd, like they're all like bisexual and his other friends are gay, and it's such a weird, but the kid is like an artist in every step. That's
my least favorite thing about hip hop these days is that they accept gays.
So many gays. But
it was kind of like it was the last refuge.
He was impressive
for people who hate gays.
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
It was the last place you were allowed to like really just be homophobic.
They don't even try. There's not a waste, because it's pretty. And I will say it is interesting how much we didn't really pay attention to it very much and how it would upset certain people. But I listen to like Rock the Bells on Sirius. It's probably the station I have on the most in my car, which is like, 90s hip hop, basically 90s, early 2000s hip hop or 80s even. And I mean, the word faggot was said. I mean, so, and by the way, not just said, like DMX has lyrics where it's like, he has lyrics where he's just like, he wants to see faggots dead. Like, just like,
no, he did, dude, the lyric, and it was in one of his biggest hits ever.
Is it Stop Being Greedy?
And it's like, how you gonna be a man having sex with a man? I may look you in the eyes, but I ain't shaking your hands. I got no love for homo thugs. Like, the lyrics are just so like, dude, it's crazy.
But I mean,
it was a different time.
I mean, get money. The song Get Money, faggot. They say faggot. Yeah, I think it's a Lil C's, I believe. I can't remember.
I just can't get it in my head. Yeah. But dude, it was all over the place. It was total, just like. It was like almost all the big rappers had shit about
maybe on the radio, maybe not.
No,
blanked on the radio.
It
would be blanked on the radio. Okay.
Yeah, I think it'd be blanked.
Yeah, and then they got a little gay about it for a while. Then it's like they got just like MTV. There was like an era of MTV where they would like all of the radio edits were like just like anything. Like you couldn't say gun.
But, you know, it's interesting though. Before that, like Talk about the actual having an argument for it being like a race thing. I guess because it was also so much more. But on radio, forever, when I was a kid, ZZ Top and ZZ Top got away with saying shit in legs. It was always played every time it played. And Dire Straits got faggot on every time it played. And they got, and there's another one that's got like shit in it also. But like a couple songs like that. And then when hip hop came out is when it all started to get, they, you know, they play it like backwards, like, yep. When it would do a curse word.
Yeah. Goes, you but it's almost like, you know, when you go to a pool hall and they're like, no do-rags or Tims. You're like, that's so for black fine. People.
Oh,
like,
that's what, you know, that's
white
what,
people
that's
wear
what,
Tims.
That's what, dude, Carnival, dude, Carnival Cruise Lines. That's what everyone's upset because Carnival's basically said like, hey, let's get some white people in here, huh? Enough. Yeah. The rules are so, there's a couple of them that are definitely like, hey, black people, enough.
Must know your father.
Dude, I remember like one time.
It's no fan. It's like weirdly a rule, like no fans because black people are all doing this fan like dance now, like out on the thing. It's like people are getting annoyed. I don't know. So no fans allowed on board. Like,
there was one place I went to. I can't remember if it was like a bar or a club or something, but I was like 20 or something like that. But they had a list of no's that was like, dude, it was everything except no black people. But like when you got to the end of it,
it was Chilcoot Charlie's in Alaska.
Was it Chilcoot Charlie's?
But 100%.
Like, the sign on the front door was no baggy jeans,
jerseys.
No jerseys with any football team. Like, no, like there were like seven. That's what it was, dude. It was Chilcoot Charlie's.
Because what we laughed at was as you're reading the sign, eight white guys dressed exactly like they're saying would go through.
Just go through. No,
they were just going through. It was fucking crazy.
They said no. Like, I think it said something about hats that match your shirt or something. It was crazy how fucking detailed it was.
It was like coordinated shoes and hats or something.
Yeah. Like, what? Like, that's obviously just.
We used to have a picture of it. We took a picture of it, and I just never. Yes. I lost it along the way somewhere, but it was right.
Yeah,
on the
it's like 17 phones ago at this point. We had
no gold teeth, no do-rags, yeah. No long pinky nail.
You, it was so it was, because it was crazy. They're just not used to it because, you know, the black people came up there at a pure military culture and they come to fucking. And so it couldn't be more of like a black people. That'll be plenty. Like, black people have to come in a 3-piece suit to walk in there to a place where. And I'm like, because there's not really a black culture in Alaska very much, at least at that time, it seemed the thing was why me and Dave were saying with the white guys doing it was there was definitely a Uyghur culture there. So all these like the white guys that were dressed exactly like that sign were just like, oh, well, yeah, but you're white. So, yeah, it's fine.
Oh, it is the black guy has to come in a three-piece suit to Chilcoot Charlie's, which is like literally. A place that it's a bar with sawdust on the ground that a fist fight could break out at any moment.
If you're black, you had to wear one of those fucking those old dusty wigs that judges wear in England.
Do you remember that was by far the you know, me and I was opening for Jay like all the time for years. And that was by far the most exotic place we ever went was Anchorage, yeah. Alaska. We never really went anywhere else that wasn't. Everywhere else we went was like Kansas or Ohio or whatever. So we're in Anchorage, Alaska. And I just remember this, Jay. At one point, we're in a car driving somewhere. And it was like two people who were there, locals, were like showing us around. I don't remember if they were. We hung out with them.
It was actually. Yeah. It was, well, you know, what's funny. You don't remember who it was. It's Shally and his girl took us, and Shally has been Doug Stanhope's like manager forever.
Oh, right. Okay, cool. I did forget that. Yeah. But so I remember at one point we're in the car. Me and Jay are in the back seat, and the two of them are in the front seat driving us around. And we just look over out my window. I'm behind the driver, and there's a wild turkey. Just sprinting. Keeping pace with the car. Like, I guess we weren't going that fast, but you just look out the window and the turkey just turned and looked at me and Jay. And it felt like he was trying to tell us something. Like, he went
gobble gobble.
He was like, get out of Alaska, get out of here now.
Yeah,
you're with the glacier killers. I was with the glacier killers in the front.
It's a weird place. It is weird to think that it's America and they'd say something to us. Remember, they just asked that the night. He goes, hey, you guys want to go to the glacier tomorrow? Like, the fucking glacier.
Like, all right. We were literally just like, we're pretty young at this point. We're just like a kid from Philly and Brooklyn just sitting there in this, like, all right, I guess.
Oh, he took us to the nature preserve. We saw like moose and fucking eagles.
They had
and
a bald eagle.
I don't understand when people go on vacation to a cold place. That's like borderline crazy to me.
Going and see the, we were there during their warm season, which is only like I think a few months. It's going like to a wintry place on vacation does seem crazy to me.
Depends what kind of vacation, like traveling hard to it. Like I get doing like a Poconos cabin or something like that.
No, I don't even consider that a vacation. True. Driving 2 hours, I don't consider vacation. I consider that
a getaway.
Yeah, you're taking a weekend getaway. I'm trying to buy a house in the Poconos actually next year, like specifically for that reason. Because I'm spending way too much money on family vacations.
So, yeah, you're spending too much money. You got to buy another house. That's the answer.
I'll tell you what, it's not a terrible idea to have a place. I said before I would ever like get an apartment in the city as my other thing ever, I would definitely do like a drivable place. That's like,
well, that's what I'm doing. So it's like, you can buy, I mean, for pretty fucking affordable. And then in the summertime, you have a couple weeks where you go out, you go fishing, get a little boat on the lake. And then in the wintertime, you can go skiing, you know, have a hot tub, sauna, have all that stuff. And then you just Airbnb it the rest of the year. There's like companies specifically in the Poconos that will do everything. They do all the cleaning, the management, they list it for you. You just have the place.
Yeah.
I was literally just talking about this with Lauren, and my whole thing is the reason I'm kind of hesitant to want to buy a vacation house is just because I feel like if I do that, then it's like, okay, but then that's our vacation every vacation. Whereas like if I don't do that, I feel like we could be like, oh, we're just like if I'm paying another mortgage and we're doing a thing, I'm gonna be like, well, we're gonna go there. Like,
well, it depends. If you're Airbnb-ing it, it's passive income. Eventually you'll have the mortgage paid off, and it's just making you money, you'll go wherever the fuck you want to go. It's another revenue stream. So yeah, you're right to a certain degree, but you're thinking
like a businessman, and I'm thinking like someone who doesn't want to be inconvenienced by being a landlord.
Oh, I can't wait to be a landlord.
The Lord of the land?
Lord of the land, dude. I hate fucking my landlord.
Kneel currently. Before me, renter.
Well, what's funny is that, you know, I offered X amount of dollars for this house. And then they said,
they're like, sir, you have to offer a real number, not just the letter.
What is X amount of dollars? Just the letter X.
Sir, this means nothing to us.
And you go, and you went, solve for X.
I was like, would you accept this much? It's just a big piece of paper. I slide it over.
He goes, this is non-negotiable.
So he goes, we're in negotiation here. I offered you X. You said no. I came back with X plus Y. Where are we? Where are we now?
So, but they said they wanted X amount of dollars for the house.
And you said, I have Y amount of dollars.
Well, they said, if you give me this, the house is yours. And I was like, fine.
This is fucked.
I was like, fine. You could have it. Even though it was too much money for the house.
I know. They bluffed you. I hate
and
it.
Then, so, and then they were
I'm glad it didn't work out.
Then they're going to go, no, well, you know what? We're going to solicit. So now they've listed it. And now they're going through their second week of open houses. The fact that people are coming into my home right now is driving me out of my fucking mind.
Oh, that sucks, dude. And you got to just sit there like, don't take their word for it if they accept it.
I'll be in here typing on my computer, pretending it doesn't, not weird that you guys are walking around looking at my stuff.
Well, they listed it at what I offered. And now they haven't gotten any offers.
That's even more insulting.
Yeah. Well, they want to get like a bidding war.
Yeah.
But they. Babe, will you make me a coffee? Thank you, Mama.
That's not too fucked up as far as that goes. I mean, like, that makes sense.
No, I understand that.
They're starting at Lewis's thing and seeing if we can get higher. Sure.
Here's what I like. The fact is that they listed it that, and now they're going to their second weekend of open houses because they're not getting offers on it. Oh, I hope they fuck themselves. Ooh, I hope they fuck themselves. As soon as
it's 2 weeks a long time. Genuinely don't know. It's 2 weeks a long time.
They told me it was going to be 1 week of open houses, and they're like, we're going to have bidding wars.
2 weeks. I think usually, typically, especially down by where Lewis is, I think typically you got a few offers at that point.
Oh yeah.
Would you, Lewis? Would you, if it wasn't too late? If today they came back and they were like, all right, fine, like a little less than you were going to do before.
I'm under contract now. I can't.
You can't.
I literally can't.
Would you be like, would you be like, fuck? Or would you, are you happy?
If they came back, if they offered me the house, this house for like a lot less than the house that I'm buying, then yeah, it would kind of bum me out because I have to move and I do like this house. Dude,
the thing is the house you're buying is nicer than the house you're in now. And so it's almost like number one, now you're getting excited about this fucking nicer house that you're buying. Also, they were just cunts about the thing. So it's like, I don't know. You know, there's, I'm sure you have a thing, Lewis, where it's like, you don't want to fucking move and you like the house you're in. So you're like, let me just buy this house. But then once that gets said no, and you're putting an offer in on a nicer house, now you're kind of get excited about it. Now you've kind of made your peace with like, all right, I'm going to have to do this fucking move.
It is what it is. Like, here's the thing though. As soon as they tell me that my mortgage is approved, I'm shit you not, I'm putting a Free Palestine flag on my front because my landlords are Israeli. And I swear to God, I'm putting a Free Palestine flag.
Dude, Isabella's landlords are just fucking terrible. And she's moving soon. But like, they've just got bad land. It's like, I always have to like get involved to get them to do anything they have to do. And they've just been like shitty. She had a busted pipe for like a week now that just got fixed yesterday because they were like, the superintendent's just like, he's like, yeah, I don't work like too late, and I whatever. He's just like, it's such like shitty reasons. They're just taking advantage of like kids at this place, which I fucking hate.
Yeah. So you almost like have to get on the phone to be like, there's an adult here.
Yes,
like,
which is so annoying to have to even do.
Like, especially now when you just bought a house and still having a deal with a goddamn landlord, where you're like, this is the one thing I'm not supposed to have to deal with anymore.
And I just can't wait to be my own landlord and argue with myself.
But it is funny having
fix the pipe.
This might even sound so wacky because you guys like. Your kids are like kids. Lewis, maybe you a little bit more because James is becoming like, you know, like a person, you know what I mean? In that regard. But Isabella was just saying, she goes, oh my God. She was like, I really want to, she goes, you know, this like super like Israeli fucking like landlords. And she was like, I swear to you, goes, I want to like say something about like whatever. She even said something, goes, I want to send him Dave Smith episodes. And she was like, I'm going to do all this stuff. And I go, Isabella, you know what's funny? I go, I'm not saying to do this because I don't think you should do this. I was like, but I am telling you, you just are cut from the cloth that like I'm Jewish. And if they were doing the stuff they're doing to you, to me, when I left, I would have like blacklight painted like swastikas on the wall. So they found it later, like whatever number of things I could have fucking done. And I go, because I just want to hurt them. Those whatever three people, you know.
What's funny is like, this place. They have mezuzahs all over the house, like which I don't exactly know what mezuzahs are, but I'm assuming it's just like a little thing to bless the room. Like you,
it's a representation. Go ahead, Dave.
They're listening devices. They've been this whole time.
When you walk out, you change the weather. isn't it like a full time representation, Dave, of like the like. So the angel of death passes. It's like the Passover, like it's like long form.
It's a device that turns rocks into gold.
I don't remember.
Essentially blessing the fucking like doorway.
It blesses the doorway, whatever it is.
It blesses the doorway. And then if you take it down, you have to like take it down in a specific way.
I'm going to pry them off with a butter knife.
Just leave them. It's great.
But anyway, what's just so funny about it, all these things I understand and would do also to these specific people. And that said, like, I put a mezuzah up on my door.
Oh, you did?
I always light the menorah candles on Hanukkah.
Honestly, the just Palestinian flag is what gets them the worst. You don't like if
right
you
now, right
the thing
now
about
for
it is,
sure.
No, but the thing about it is yeah. But I'm saying like if you do a swastika or you rip the mezuzahs off, it in a weird way just becomes like a self like. Fulfilling, like, yeah, see, this is the real problem with these Nazis. I was right to renege on that guy because it turns out he was a Nazi all along. But if you're just like, eh, sure is horrible that you're slaughtering all those Palestinian babies, they're like, you hate the Jews, and like it drives them crazy.
Question, if I put a Palestinian flag up this weekend for the open house, would they legally be allowed to take it down? That would actually be a problem.
They're not allowed to take it down. I don't know. I mean, it's not structural or anything. You're not allowed to do to the house. I ask a lawyer about it. Don't ask me. But that is hilarious. And if you also just have to like, you have to make everyone who they're trying to sell this house to immediately think of like the most divisive political issue. Like it's just, you'd be like, well, I just wanted to start a healthy discussion at the open house.
I know, because they're like legit Israelis, like Israeli, like straight. This whole neighborhood where I'm at in Jersey is a very big Jewish population. You know, Jersey.
Lewis, please. Will you please do this?
Please what?
$40. Can you make your bed with that?
Here's my only problem is how do I get the Palestinian flag right now? Because I'm leaving tonight.
Dude, there's no way you can get in trouble for that being your bed, right?
Is that what that is? Someone gave that to me.
You go, wait, that's not a Palestinian flag. That's a game of red triangle, green stripe.
Yeah, dude. You want to give me your door code? I'll go put it on your bed for you.
Dude, it's so funny. So funny. I mean, I just it's fine, but it's like you can't say to somebody like, "Give me this amount of money." It's just this not the way to do business. I understand it. And the guy was just like, I talked to him the other day because they're just annoying me. They keep on like just annoying the fuck out of me, you know, asking for showings. I told him to give me 24 hours notice before you show the place. 23 hours they gave me notice on one, and I was like, I want to be spiteful, but I'm not, and I'm just like, fine. But you almost want to be like, yeah, guys, like you were fucking literally, you told me that if I wouldn't have to upend my entire life, so you can maybe make a few $1,000 more, which they're not coming to. Oh, I hope it doesn't sell for what they have it listed for. It has to sell.
You're gonna see him one day show up at the launch, just celebrating. Like they're gonna have so much more.
It's gonna have to sell for at least $50,000 more just to make it worthwhile to pay all of the real estate fees.
Lewis, the best revenge is success. Just focus on your new beautiful house and go set up a life there. But do the Palestinian blanket. It's a really funny little thing. Like that's it. That should be the extent of you getting.
Well, I mean, just order. Order it, and then if they don't, one, it'll be funny if it's just like kind of if it's on your front step delivered when they get there. It's funny now. Also. But also, if let's assume it doesn't sell this week and they open house next week, you have time to have your Palestinian flag blanket.
Now, here's if you really want to go for it big time, you build a Hamas tunnel underneath your house, and then when they come, you murder them. And say that Hamas was using them as human shields.
Dude, no, so he has no choice. Dude,
I'm not going to argue with that. This is Dave's specialty.
Dude,
I will defer to Dave.
Because you know what, dude? I'm not going to step in here where I say Dave knows what he's talking about.
Dude, I hijack their kid's school bus while they're on it. Yes. Hear me out, dude. I get rocket launchers.
Yes, dude.
I've been reading about the Second Intifada, and these were similar tactics.
You could definitely... definitely get some sort of like Muslim or Palestinian like trinkets for your house.
Can you look it up? If they're showing the house during an open house and I decorate my home with a Palestinian flag, can they ask me to take it down? Or can they legally take it down without my permission?
Can you hear me?
No way.
I was looking it up. They definitely can't take it down without your permission, but there are all similar cases and they all seem to be Palestinian flags. And they're all currently in court over the last like couple of years of landlords wanting people to take down Palestinian flags.
Of course.
You'll never win.
That's different. That's an ongoing like question of can you mark this house while someone else owns it, but you're living in it. Lewis is talking about putting it up, and then if they come and go, oh, you have to take that down, going, oh, yeah, sure.
Totally. Yeah, and all these cases, they're citing like damage to the property or community outrage, and this wouldn't be any of that.
No, I'm talking about like you have a big old fucking flag stuck in the ground as when people are walking in, they're seeing a free Palestine flag. My political message.
And then a sign that says, everybody who passes this point agrees to a free Palestine.
Yeah. If you enter, you believe that Palestine is right.
You're like from the curb to the fence.
If you'd like to see the master bedroom, just follow the Holocaust never happened signs, and that'll take you right.
That's funny. Let's do plugs real quick.
Plug your butt. BigJComedy.com for all my dates. I got a bunch of shit coming up. We got Tacoma, Washington. Then Story Wars doing three shows at the Comedy Store Monday and Tuesday, first week of August. I believe it's the 3rd, 4th?
4th, 5th.
4th, 5th. Then I will be going right from Los Angeles to Sacramento. Sacramento Punchline. I'm coming back. It's been a while. And what else? Stress Factory, Wisconsin, Skyline Comedy Club at Appleton. Look for a city near you on Big J Okerson's Peter North American tour coming on a city near you. If you get it, you get it. Dave, elbow. And listen to The Bonfire 5 days a week, Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103 with me and the great Robert Kelly. Of course, Story Wars, America's favorite new game show, comedy game show sensation right here on Gas Digital Network. And my specials are both up for free on YouTube. Enjoy.
Dave?
I will be in Cleveland, Ohio at Hilarities this weekend. Really looking forward to that one. Huh?
Cleveland,
Ohio. Very much looking forward to getting back out there.
That's one of my... that Superman in that mall.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah, yeah. I think that's right.
Yeah. That's that. It's the Daily Planet.
That's right. So very much looking forward to that. I'm literally just checking right now as I say this because I'm not sure if there's... all sold out for the mothership. So, well, that's cool. The whole weekend sold out. So, sorry, suckers. You can't come. And then I got, what's next? Tacoma, Spokane, Las Vegas, Detroit, and then Tampa Side Splitters, where Louis J. Gomez just filmed his wonderful special. Oh, and then, yes, I'll be back at Laugh It Up in Poughkeepsie. So, see you guys out there on the road, comicdavesmith.com. And then, of course, Part of the Problem is my other podcast. And then I'm always, you know, doing other political podcasts and other shows. The debate that I did at Turning Point USA is doing really good numbers. So thanks. I got a great response from it, too.
With
so,
Charlie Kirk, cool. That piece of shit garbage cup. Like, did Naeem start? Naeem didn't like him or something.
And Naeem didn't care for him.
He was very nice.
I think I handled it diplomatically. I
thought he did a good Bill Maher. We used him and Bill Maher talk. I thought it was good.
I enjoy hearing from both Charlie Kirk and Naeem. Sure. So I'm going to, I wish to remain friends with all of them. But anyway, yeah. And then that's all.
Come see me live on the road, guys. I'm taking a little bit of a break right now after I film the special, but I'll be back out August 8th. And 9th in Timonium, Maryland at Magoobie's Joke House for the very first time. Hear great things. Comedy Connection, Providence, Rhode Island, August 22nd and 23rd. Portland, Maine, come back to the Empire Comedy Club, September 11th through 13th. Then I got a lot more stuff coming up. Key West, Florida, Levittown, New York, Blue Room Comedy in Springfield, Missouri, Chandler, Arizona, and more. I already started putting dates for 2026. I moved my Kansas City, Missouri dates to then because we got offered the Gathering of the Juggalos. So,
oh, right. Gathering of Juggalos. I didn't say that.
Yeah, me, Big J, Tim Butterly, and Zach Amico all going to be at the Gathering this year, which is a lot of fun. I'm pumped to go out and get a little crazy with the fans. And, yeah, just go to my website, sign up for my mailing list, check out all my other podcasts, The Regs, Story Wars, my solo podcast, Lewis Journal, where I give you a ton of inside information and news. If you're listening to this live tomorrow, we're launching a new Gas Digital platform, gasdigital.com, new apps, new everything, complete new interface. You know, I really hope that this is going to be a massive upgrade. It seems like it's going to be. So we'd love your feedback on this. And yeah, obviously get my book, Knives and Spoons. It's on pre-release right now. It's being released in December. And yeah, go buy my coffee too if you guys want to boost your testosterone naturally. Bodybringcoffee.com.
There, I mean, the Bonfire is a breathing commercial for you, dude.
I know. People love it.
DJ Lou is I thought he was like kind of kidding when he said it almost. Just like, yeah. And he was like, for Bobby before they went upstairs between shows, just so he goes, "You want a body brain?" And he was like, and Bobby was like, "What?" He's like, "You want a body brain?" He goes, "Oh, you're making them?" Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, I'll take one." And he was like, "Can you do it iced?" He's like, "I can make it iced for you." And
yeah.
Like, and then on the show, Bobby was like, "Sorry, man, I'm locked in." He goes, "Like, body brain coffee hits you." And Lou was like, "I'm right there with you, buddy." I'm like, "Did Louis pay you guys behind my back?"
But here's the thing: it's not even like bullshit. Like,
are you guys shills?
It just depends on how sensitive you are to supplements. Some people really feel supplements like that, yeah. So they feel very locked in. Like, and I've had nobody. Literally nobody tell me they don't like it, whether it's the taste.
Dude,
or the
send
way
it to me already. I want to try this. I'm actually getting excited about it.
I think like the taste. I think the taste is ultimately what they were.
No, the taste is good. You know, if you're a coffee snob, you're going to be like, all right, this isn't just coffee. You could taste like the adaptogens and the supplements. But
steroids.
You can taste the steroids.
You can taste the anabolic steroids.
Guys, I'm tapping out Brock Lesnar now. But coffee.
He goes, Tankat Ali is good for recovery, but what's really hitting me is the anabolic steroids.
Did you hear that John Jones got busted for body brain coffee?
Got fired from nothing.
Yeah, but dude, it's actually a really, the whole process is pretty fucking cool. To like, I've always wanted to do that, just like conceptualize something. It's not like somebody came to me and white labeled it and they were like, we have this coffee and attach your name to it. I fucking made this shit in my kitchen for months and months and months trying different things, and it, you know, the feedback.
Just know, when you're drinking that coffee, it was made in Lewis's bathtub.
Well, no, I have somebody who makes it now, a manufacturer, but
they say that, and Jake Paul is what saved Ben Askren.
Yeah. Did Jake Paul donate $500,000?
Did we talk about that at all?
We didn't.
I'm almost certain he did. Like, I think he, like, and he did it in a way where he's like, no one else, like, kind of shitty, where he gave a speech where he's like, I can't believe no one in the world was like stepping in to help him with this.
So he took an opportunity. So here's the thing. A lot of people are like, Jake's the man. And Jake is, look, I actually like Jake Paul. He's a smart businessman. His whole thing is kind of fun. He's like, he likes being a bad guy. Yeah. You need villains. You know what I'm saying? And that's that.
Yes. Because, and also you should add that, like, there's this weird thing where, like, when Jake Paul pretends to be a professional heavyweight champion boxer or whatever, or when he says he's gonna beat up like fucking the top ranked guys, it's kind of ridiculous, but it's undeniable. It's really impressive how good he got himself at boxing. Like, forget thinking about like professional boxers or anything like that, and just take it for what it is. The guy literally was just a rich YouTuber who went, I'm going to get really good at boxing. And he's fucking got really good at boxing. It's really incredible.
Yeah, he,
I mean, they're young too. You got to keep in mind. So it's like, I watched. He started doing it pretty young, technically.
I watched the Julio Cesar Chavez fight. And he dominated the fight. What do you want to say? Like, I understand that he, you know, Julio Cesar Chavez isn't like a top ranked opponent. Was the guy's been boxing his entire life? His dad's a legend. Tommy Fury, it was a split decision. Tommy Fury's from the most legendary boxing family in the world. Like, the fact that,
but he's like the worst they have to offer, though.
Yeah, but it's two professional boxers. Both of them are legit.
Buddy, I don't disagree with you.
From boxing families.
I don't disagree with you at all. I think someone who was commentating that night, I forget who, but said the thing, and it was like, because they go, technically, he goes, I only consider that Jake Paul's fought four fights. Even though he's fought more, it's like, he's like, I'm only counting like four of them against like boxers, including that night. And he was like, and he won three of them. And he goes, and everyone's complaining about his thing. He goes, but no, any professional fighter's fourth professional fight, like, no one talks about, like, he was up against the block. He goes, you're going against guys that are like kind of around you.
Losing records. Guys are only even professional athletes. All those guys are first.
And it's just that his name is big enough. Listen, it's like if you got mad at Jordan because his stupid minor league White Sox were all of a sudden having like tickets sold out the ass. It's like, oh, man, like, we've been playing baseball here for 10 years, you know, on the team, and no one gave a shit until Michael Jordan showed up and goes, yeah, he's just going to bring that. Even though he's the worst player on the team, he's going to bring that kind of, he brings eyes.
He's fighting he's coming along how he should come along. He's fighting the guys who he should fight. And to be honest with you, even like these guys, like the Tyron Woodleys or fucking, you know, the Anderson Silvas, any of these guys are legitimate professional fighters, high level athletes that he went out and beat. Now, granted, boxing isn't their, you know, number one sport, but the reality is those guys would fuck up the guys that, you know, the guys that, you know, fucking, you know, the first 20 opponents that most professional fighters get. So I had no problem at all with Jake, but they say like, oh, you know, Jake did this, and he, you know, he just did it selflessly. He didn't talk about it on social media. He did talk about it on social media.
Talked about it a bunch. He took
the opportunity to use it to trash Dana White.
That's and what it was.
$500,000, you know, it's almost like it's marketing. So he's going to go, I'm going to spend $500,000 to get so much attention for this. $500,000 to go like, oh, Jake's the fucking man. He's selfless. He did what the UFC wouldn't do. That narrative is worth more than $500,000. So when you have that much money, it's like buying a billboard with your face on it, right?
That chick he tries to build up with him just keeps losing. It's hilarious. She just loses all the time.
I haven't even followed that. But it is a funny thing because you're like, and also I can never hold it against someone. Even if they're doing the right thing, but also for, you know, like selfish wrong interests. Reasons. It's but whatever. You know, he's still fucking helped this guy out. And the truth is that even though you could argue, hey, he could have done this quietly and not taken the attention if he just wanted to do the right thing, you got to look at it and go, it's insane that Dana White handed him this W. Like, it's obvious, like, Dana White could have just, Ben Askren was a high profile enough guy that, like, Dana White should have just, it's just, that company shouldn't let that happen to former fighters.
The UFC would say, well, the same reason, and I just said about Jake, the UFC would go, ah, you know what, $500,000 of really good marketing, let's pay for that. Why not? Right? Let's be the guy, let's be the company that does that. Now, granted, they have boards and they're, you know, the publicly traded company, how they use their money, it's not like,
yes, one but I've also seen anymore. I've also seen Dana White show up and gift like an influencer $500,000 or whatever, just because it's like he's done crazy shit like that. Like, he gave someone like a big box of cash. And like, people were furious about it because they're like, you don't pay your fighters, but you're paying them and shit.
They,
and like,
Dana White, dude, they jumped the shark. As soon as Dana White started pushing Power Slap, in my opinion, he jumped the shark, and it just made me respect the UFC less. And it's, I know one has technically nothing to do with the other, but the idea that fighter safety was the cornerstone of this, right? One of the most beautiful stories about in the UFC history, right, was that first UFC, that first fight where it was, you know, the sumo wrestler got kicked in the face by, I forget their names, to whatever,
the karate guy.
Gary, Gary something or whatever.
No, Gary Goodrich was the black guy.
It was something with a G was his last name.
Tua Tagovailoa, I think, was the and then Gerard Gordeau was the guy who kicked him.
Yeah, in
the
face. That's right.
And there was a moment. So they had, it was one of the Gracie family that was the actual referee, or maybe it wasn't. I'm sorry. It was a referee that was a Brazilian jiu-jitsu guy that understood jiu-jitsu that the Gracie family hired. And Tua Tagovailoa got kicked in the face and his teeth went fucking flying, right? And he wasn't defending himself. He was like going to get really, like, seriously hurt. Like, he was like, his hand was on the mat. He was going to get fucked up again. And back then, there was no referee. The referee couldn't stop it. It was only corner
stoppage. There was no referee stoppage. Yeah.
Or submission.
Or tap out.
And the referee stopped it. He fucking waved it off. He was like, whoa, whoa. And then you'll see, if you watch the video of it, you watch with the Torian or whichever Gracie it was arguing with him. You're like, what the fuck? There's no referee stopping. Like, he's actually pissed off. And this guy lost his job. He didn't get invited back. But he set the standard in the UFC where he was like, well, no, fighter safety is important. It's my job as a referee to make sure that, like, this is not what jiu-jitsu or martial arts is about. It's not about killing somebody.
And then, you know what it is they brought in Big John for the next one, and there were still no referee stoppages. And then it was Big John who went to Horian and went, like, I'm not reffing another one of these unless I can stop the fight. Yeah. Like, I have to be able to fuck. Because what would happen is that the corners wouldn't throw in the towel when they really should throw in the towel. Yeah. And fuck, it was just like, yo, this is crazy.
So is that what it,
like,
was? At some point, I don't really remember that. So the ref could never stop. It was genuine unconscious knockout or quit.
Quit?
Or no, it wasn't unconscious knockout. The technical rules of the first two UFCs were corner stoppage or you quit. So yeah, there's no amount of fucking pounding this guy out. So
when Gary Goodrich is elbowing that guy and he goes unconscious, you see the towel come in. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like, it was very, very brutal. It was way more brutal, but it was just a moment. If you watch the UFC documentary, like, I think it might even be produced by the UFC about the first UFC.
Yeah.
And it's a great story where they were like, that was sort of the foundation of that first fight ever. It was built in that, like, you know, his instincts kicked in. He was like, no, you have to protect the fighter still. And the UFC made that a sort of a cornerstone. And one of the things that was beautiful when people were talking about how this is barbaric and it was human cockfighting, they were like, no, we really give a fuck about the fighters. And Power Slap just threw that completely out the window. You have these morons just fucking knocking each other out with unanswered, like, literally hands behind the back. The most dangerous thing possible for these people. They're not even getting paid for it. And you're like, Dana White, like, you're a bazillionaire. You don't need the money. Why would you sign off on something so shitty? Like, I wouldn't, like, they offered to do that, or didn't offer, but people wanted to do it at Skankfest, right? Because we were doing the, you know, the boxing and the jiu-jitsu and all that stuff, and we couldn't box anymore. So the conversation came up, well, why don't we do Power Slap? Like, how funny would it be to have fucking, you know, Harrington and Jake power slapping each other? It would be hilarious. But I said no, because I'm like, I'm not letting people that I know, my fans, my friends, smack each other as hard as they can in the fucking face and have somebody maybe possibly get legitimately hurt.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah, now look, I can't argue with you on the on the power slap shit. I do say I still love fucking the UFC and I still love the sport of MMA and I love watching the great fights. But I do agree with you. That was a really bad move on their part.
I think we should do Harrington versus Jake at Skankfest.
I mean, once you said it out loud, we really should do a power slap match between
which is those two guys. How about we just have a line where you get to pay to slap Jake in the face?
Power slap Jake for $5.
Jake has a slapping booth at Skankfest.
Dude, Jake versus Harrington might be the fight to make at Skankfest.
Yeah.
Jake's military. Is Jake here right now?
Dude, no, because why would he be?
It's too early for Jake, bro. It's too early for Jake, bro. What's he going to be here every goddamn show?
You're lucky he comes on Monday.
Yeah. If he gets no other things offered to him.
If.
Fuck, that's hilarious.
Yeah. I'm going to go get a bottle of wine soon. Open up my fucking... Start drinking a little vino. Get in a little Italy mood. Let's go. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, boys.
I'm gonna go see Wu-Tang Clan.
When do we have Pantera? Next weekend?
Next weekend.
Sick.
Yeah, the 26th. And then Dave. And then I'll be seeing Dave on the 25th.
For Toto. Did you get tickets to that, or do I gotta get tickets?
No, we're figuring it out what we're gonna do exactly. Trying to get us a little section.
Ooh. A C section.
So we can get us a little C-section, but that's going to be fun. When you're going to see when Dave gets caught between the moon and New York City.
Dude, that song's going to hit me and Lauren.
But it's true.
It is.
I know it's crazy.
It's crazy, but it's true.
we're going to ride like the wind. Da 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 da. Be da ha ha. It's a little white for you.
I know what Toto is. I like two songs.
Africa. No, you like more than two songs.
Yeah. Probably more than two. Probably not much more than two.
No. I'd say three might be your max.
Hold the line.
Yeah,
hold the line. Love isn't always on time.
See?
Whoa.
All right. I like three.
And that, though, but that might be it.
All right. Well, I love you guys.
Love you too, buddy. Congratulations on everything.
Well, don't congratulate me yet. There's still a few things I got to get in the can.
No, you're going to die in Italy, but this is the peak. So congratulations.
This is it.
You're going to be calling some Italian job style movie thing with Mark Wahlberg.
My God, there's ISIS here. What's ISIS doing in Italy? All right. I love you guys.
All right. Bye, everybody. We'll catch you guys. Our Monday is going to be the episode from your yard.
Yeah.
From my yard.
So no Skanks on Monday. It's, you know what sucks, dude? Stanhope has two Mondays that he can be here that he wants to do Skanks, and it's both Mondays that we're not in town.
Oh, Jesus. Both. That's annoying.
Yeah. It's so fucking annoying.
Fuck. Yeah. The next one's August.
Mm-hmm.
Damn balls. Well.
No, the 28th is the next one that we're doing, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Christine's 40th birthday.
Hell yeah.
We'll catch you guys. Next time. Until then, peace.
You've been listening to the Legion of Skanks podcast with Big J. Okerson.
Did you suck it? I think I would instinctually suck it.
Thick with three C's.
You must be fucking over, Lewis.
Lewis Gomez.
Lewis J. Gomez, you motherfucker.
Lewis J. Gomez.
If you ever try to watch a retard draw a swastika, it's hilarious.
I'm sort of known as a point guard of podcasting. Being a fat gay guy is so fucking awesome.
And comedian Dave Smith.
You fucking godless, soulless sodomites.
That's the fucking best joke I've ever heard in my life.
It was 8 inches.
The Legion of Skanks podcast.